write letters. And those of you still in here, y'all know about letters. Those out there don't know about letters. And I said, what if we were to just take a cassette tape and record it and send it? And so she sent me a cassette tape, and I listened to it. I was in my bedroom listening to that cassette, and she was telling me what was going on. And just general things that you would put in a letter, but it's her voice. And something about her voice just, I really thought this would be a lot better than a letter, but what it did, it made me just want to go see her in person. And I just turned off the tape player and packed some clothes, told my mom. I said, Mom, I'm going to go see Dawn, and I'll be back in a few days. I just couldn't take it anymore. I had to go see her. And it was only 5-6 hours. It wasn't like it was, you know, around the world. And as we were singing, just wrapping up that song, I thought, Lord, I have that yearning to see you. Because who we're praising is in this house. He is real. He's real. And the longer you serve him, the more history you have with him, the more trophies he gives you, the more blessings you have there. And it just gets to be so real, and he is real. And it's awesome that we don't have to go somewhere to find him because he's right here. Amen. Our God is right here. I want to talk about the fundamental measure of Christianity. And as I put that title on my notes today, I thought, that is a pretty boring title. But hold on, I can top that. No, it really is the point of what I want to make today, the fundamental measure of Christianity, and I'll try to make it interesting. But I want to start by saying this: God created you and me to inhabit us. He created us that we might be filled with His presence, with His Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, our Holy Spirit. That's why we're here. That's what we're on earth for. And God didn't pick some and say, well, I don't want to inhabit your body, but I do yours. It's whosoever will. Yet the Word of God tells us not everyone is going to sign up. We know that. And but those that do are going to be rewarded for it. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's according to the power. It's not according to God's power, because His power is limitless. But it's according to His power that works in us. We can talk about Him and sing about Him, but there's got to be a power of God in us that does some work. I've got to give Him room to work. He's got His work cut out on me. But I give him room to work. Verse 21, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God needs to do a work, but it's a work he does by living in us, dwelling within us, being our God, being our lead and our guide. You know, when you take a vessel that's completely, a vessel that's complete when it's full. In other words, I don't like a half full anything. I reach in for the milk, and sometimes we get the good milk that has all white carton. You can't see through it. And I don't know, it costs a little more. And I always feel like it's better, but probably not. But I notice that I don't know when it's not full anymore. I know it's lighter. And I can feel, I know what 3 or 4 ounces feels like, but you just can't see. But to me, it would be the perfect milk carton if every time I reached in there, it was just full. And just because you feel better when you are pouring from a full, I feel better when I'm pouring from a full gallon. I don't like doing this and going, oh, I hope it's enough. I'm going to be eating dry cereal. That's what I'm talking about. I used it to pour it on cereal. Though God made us all unique, He made us to be filled with His presence. He didn't make us to go on a quarter of a tank. He made us that we would be full of His presence. Fills us up. But so He made us in a way that you're different than I am, I'm different than you. But we all have a particular purpose that can only be realized when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, His Spirit. Our purpose cannot be found. We cannot identify it and search it out until He fills us. And then we find that it begins to lead and guide us into all truth. We know these things. I'm just using a runway right now. Paul closed out his letter to the Ephesians that I read with that text. And God can do great things, but it's according to the power that works in you and me. He can do everything, but it's according to, not according to His ability, but according to His ability through us as a vessel. So in order for God to work, I've got to give Him room to work, and I've got to get out of His way, and I've got to let Him work. I've got to let God do what He wants to do. And He can't do anything unless I give Him a right to do that. My success and your success depends on God's power working in us. If you're going to be anything for God, He's got to be able to have His way in you. And so, Philippians chapter 2 and 12, I want to go there. And how many of you don't mind telling me that you've worked out this week? I'm only raising my hand as an example. I forgot to work out. Clicking, Brenda, my goodness. I got to work out. They're not lying. They work out. They exercise. And it's a great thing to do. I have, my wife and I, we have a membership at a place, and I'm glad we do. It's helped us out a lot and at points. And but, you know, when you say work out, the work part is, that's the part that keeps me away, because it really is work. But Philippians tells us, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out. Yes. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Right. It's God that works in you both to will and to do. You want to say, we like to say, I just want the will of God in my life. And we do. But the will of God has also work attached to it. Will and work. For it is God who works in you both to will. He works to will. He works with a purpose from Him, not giving us the power to say, go off and entertain yourself with that. But He says, I'm giving you power to do my will. And my will is going to help you. Because I'm giving you my power, both to will and to do His good pleasure. So we work out, amen, as we obey God. And that's what makes this life so awesome. Right. Now, I want to try to identify the reason why I'm teaching this lesson. Sometimes the reason is good. You get the reason and you can know the direction. It's easy to say that we're saved. It is easy to say that. And it's easy when we feel good about it and we feel that we have salvation. Now, if we follow the Word of God, the book of Acts, plan of salvation, which of course we do, we understand that there is parts to it where we repent. That means to turn around or ask God's forgiveness. We repent. We are baptized in His name. His name is applied as we are put under water by immersion. They did it in the New Testament. We do it here. So a repentance, baptism, and then He fills us with His Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. That's the great experience. That's what God does. We baptize. You repent, God feels. It's a perfect, perfect relationship between the church and the seeker that receives. Amen. Repentance, baptism, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But whenever we are filled, it's a great feeling. I remember the feeling. It was amazing. And then I remember the feeling began to be just normal. In other words, I wasn't on a high from 8 years old on up, and it just kept being great. After a while, that high gets to be my normal. All right? It got to be my normal. Now, I experienced the opposite of the highs as I got into, you know, teenage years. And, you know, something about teenagers, I feel for them. But here's what's like when you're a teenager. You make a mistake, and you go off and, you know, do something crazy, and you think that you have totally lost your salvation. You think you've backslid. And the enemy's right there to shake his finger in your face and help you feel that way. That's our youth. And I know we've got some great leaders that teach them and coach them about that and say, that doesn't mean you're lost. It means you just got to repent. Amen. But I remember that feeling that, oh, no, I'm lost. I'm going to burn in hell. That's a terrible feeling. You want to get to church and repent again and cry and pray and ask God to help you out. So here it is. It's God working in us to do His good pleasure. And I don't want to be lost, and I don't want our young people to be lost, but I want to tell you something. I'm identifying why I'm teaching this. There needs to be a way that we can know what the next stage is for me to replenish the supply of the power in my life. Here is the thing. I could simply come here in a suit and a coat with, well, I was going to say tie. I don't have my tie. But we could come here dressed up, ready for church. We could all do that and just be here and not have anything behind us in the last days that we've done that's godly or religious even. We could do that. And who would judge us? So here's the thing. We know what it's like. We've lived for God for a while. We know what it's like to be full, but we also know what it's like to run on empty. The job, the family, the stress of life. You know what it's like to run on empty. And if we've been to the empty tank and back a few times, there begins to be an understanding that there may not be that much difference in being full and being empty. And it's a dangerous game to live in a place where we're empty when we need to be full. And we can find our happy medium. We can find that place that we're comfortable. And here's the point. The Lord might need more out of me than just finding my happy place, my happy medium. He might need me to be full. So I can make it to heaven? No, that was when I was a kid. I didn't want to burn in hell. I was so afraid of that the Lord was going to come, I wouldn't be ready. I feel like today, and I think this is a good place to be, I feel like I've got it made. You know, I know we could all slip up, but I feel like I've got salvation made. If I don't have confidence in the grace of God and His power, then I'm in the wrong business. I feel like I've got it made. As long as I continue to live for God and clean my life up with repentance on a daily basis. Lord, if there's anything, forgive me. You know, repentance. And so I don't want to get into that place where I find myself comfortable and now I can just exist. The problem with that is the enemy is walking about still. He don't stop. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking somebody that he can devour. And he tries to predict what you're going to be and where you're going to be. And he knows when you're up and he knows when you're down. He's a little bit like Santa Claus. He knows when you've been good and bad, a little bit. Doesn't give good gifts, but still, he's similar to that. He watches. The Bible tells us he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking someone not to aggravate. He's not like your kid sister or kid brother. No. He wants to devour and walk away going, I destroyed another one. That's his purpose. That's his design. That's his desire. So it doesn't do me any good to live in La La Land or in that little rocking chair religious state where I'm all right. It feels good. You know, nobody's judging me. Everybody thinks I'm up here. I got everybody's respect. I need to get a hold of God and live to the best of my ability, full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And these, you know, we don't get to write the rules. We have to stand on the Word of God. Sometimes, you know, you can look at somebody and tell they've been working out. I've never had anybody look at me and say, you've been working out, haven't you? No, I've had people say, you've been working, you know, because of the gloves and I've been dirty, but I don't ever get accused of working out. But God is working in you and around you. And so don't worry about the you part. It's going to be with you at every move. God's going to do His part, and you've got your part there. But when you wake up every morning, you're going to be with you. Amen. That's a given right there. But the God part is the part we have to invest in. I've got me, but I need to invest in the God part of it. And that's when it takes all these things that we always teach and preach about. And we know what they are, giving a prayer life and reading the Word of God and living a good life. Those parts. But we've got to be soldiers. The Bible tells us to be like good soldiers. We got to say, Lord, I want to wear that helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and I want to gird myself with truth. I want to have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, a sword of the Spirit, and a shield of faith. I've got to have myself equipped so that I can be faithful at the time that God calls me to be faithful. And so it's not just a game, or I'm not just trying to be sure I'm barely make it in the gate there. Philippians 2:13, the New Living Translation says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Yes. The desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Yes. It's like my mom giving me $4 and said, here's $4. You can go ahead and go to the Five and Dime and get me a Mother's Day gift. And I did. I went and got her a Mother's Day gift, whatever mother wants, an ashtray. Amen. And I can take you into her house right now and show you where it's sitting. It's a mother of pearl, beautiful ashtray. I don't know if it's ever had ashes in it. Probably did at some point, but they don't smoke. But my mother used to have ashtrays around the house. Had one from Mexico made out of coins. It melted in brass. It was a good one too. Collector of ashtrays. But she gave me the money to go buy her a gift. God gives you the gift to go win him some battles. Amen. To go win some souls. He gives us the power both to will and to do his good pleasure or what pleases him. That really is great news. God is giving us desire and power. Do you realize that? If we just stay close, stay in his word, have that prayer life where you can meet with him and pray, he will give you the power and the desire. What else do I need? Because I'll tell you, I've gotten up. This is a big secret. I don't think anybody's like me. I've gotten up before I went to work, and I didn't want to go there. Yeah, every one of us has had those days, probably this week. Yes, you just been there. You just seemed like you didn't even sleep 4 or 5 hours, and you got to go back again. I've been there. I've done those things. What I needed was the power and the desire, and I didn't get it. I didn't always get it. Power and the desire. Oh my. But see, God is telling us he works in you, providing that for you. If I could have grasped this when I was 10 or 12 years old, it would have helped me a lot. And I would have known, because I used to see these people in my church that I used to look at as like, well, they're spiritual giants. How can I ever be like them? But I didn't know that God will give you the desire and the power. See, God shares an apartment with our human flesh. He shares this apartment. And sometimes he wins if we give everything to him, if we let him have his way, and we feed that part of our soul, if we feed our spirit with good things. But if I neglect the God part, then I'm going to find myself letting the flesh take over. There's something that happens when we give into the flesh, but we still want to be godly, but we want to give into the flesh, and we still want to be God. What happens then is we start creating our own ideas about, we start convincing ourselves, I'm all right. You know how I do that? You know how I can say that I'm all right when I've been living for myself and not for God? All I got to do is find somebody worse than me, and I can look down on them and say, at least I'm not like them. Now, they really are, they have some problems, and they're in the church. They have some issues. All right. We justify ourselves. We will justify ourselves if we can just look down and see somebody else. Right. Let's tiptoe out of there. It's true, we do that. It's God giving you the desire. The only obstruction you have to worry about is that flesh nature that you have. It opposes what God's attempting to do. And it's different for every individual. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. We all have our seasons. You may be up today and flying high. You may have been in the valley yesterday, or you just come out of one. I don't know. We all have our seasons. Matthew 26:40-41. He cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep. Remember, this is the night of that he would be crucified. He saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You got the want to, Simon. You really do. I can see it in your eyes. You want to do good things for me. You have a desire, but your flesh is holding you back because it's weak. It was the hour at which most people would be asleep. Okay, that's a given. It was normally their bedtime. But he's telling them there's times when you got to push past. What is normal, you got to push past the pain and the discomfort, and you have to tell your flesh, you're going on this journey with me. I'm going to mold you into the shape God wants you to be, because he needs me to reach out a little more, to reach a little higher, to go a little further. He said, what, could you not watch with me an hour? Just an hour. Sometimes it's so difficult for us to give God an hour of prayer. Right. Hour of prayer. What if we could just Facebook him? Talking several hours a day, we could knock that out of the park. Lord, help me to get away from that, because it's just a deep, dark hole. I could just keep on going. You know, Jesus makes a point that just, he says, you know, just that 1 hour is difficult for you. He understands it. He understands that's difficult. You know, that is really the point of impact, though. He was letting them know, at that point where you are giving up, when you say, I just can't, he says, that's pay dirt right there. That's the good point. If you could just press on right there. I've pressed on before when in my spirit I wondered, God, is this you telling me to do this? Is it guilt telling me to do this? Or is it just desperation? Sometimes we put too much thinking into what we're doing when we just need to do it and back up and let God take care of it. Amen. It's not by might or power, but by spirit. That means I must subdue my will and my human leanings and allow God to work in me and through me, as we all do. This all started, you know, this process and this great doctrine we love to talk about. It all started with being filled. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Picture this, you're all sitting right now. They weren't standing up singing a chorus. There was no musicians there. They were just sitting and waiting for the promise. Sometimes good things happen when we're at the right place, yeah, waiting for the right thing. Amen. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, yes, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Amen. The tongues were a sign that they were filled. But the important thing about being filled is it changed them. It changed them. It caused them to be like the one that told them to go in the upper room and wait. They started acting like Jesus. They were a sign. God, thank you for a great sign. I love that sign still today. Many religions have watered it down and washed that away in the water. And they've watered it down to a sinner's prayer. A sinner's prayer. I heard a man not long ago that I used to listen to preach one of our camp meetings. Matter of fact, I rode with him to the tabernacle, talked about old times. And I watched him dismiss a service with the sinner's prayer. And I thought, you know, it doesn't take a long time to fall real far. He's got a big church, though. But is it worth that? I don't ever want to get seduced. Amen. Never want to be seduced to just water this down even a little bit. Because it still works. It still works. Thank you, God. See, the initial sign is tongues. People might say, well, you guys talk about tongues a lot. Well, it's the initial sign of birth. When a baby's born, they don't say, shh, shh, shh. This is a hospital. We don't want any babies crying in here. The one thing we want to hear is that baby crying. We love to hear that cry. Our daughter was born. It took a while for her to cry. I about passed out just because it was a 20, 30 seconds of no sound. And the doctor said, you're going to need a doctor in a minute if you don't sit down. And I was green because I wanted to hear the sound. We need to be just that desperate to hear that sound. Lord, I don't ever want to not desire the sound, God, the sound of tongues. Oh, what the sign was the sound of tongues. Now, Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, is as if, you know, days later, weeks later, as they began to preach in Jerusalem and got into some trouble. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They said, these guys, something about them we can tell they've been with Jesus. They've been with him. You can't wash that off. You act like him. You talk like him. You The values are the same. Here, it's the boldness of Simon Peter that proved that he was enabled by the Spirit to be seen as one of those that had been with Jesus. I'm sure he thought that was a badge of honor. It's the greatest testimony we can have that somebody can say, I can tell you're one of them. Not by acting goofy. It's not a contest, but it's just they can tell the Spirit of God within us. My last point here, and I want to talk about the 10 brides. 10 brides in Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. The odd thing about the story is the number of brides for the one groom, but it's a parable. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. You've probably seen pictures of these lamps. You can see them in encyclopedias, especially Bible encyclopedias. Very crude lamps that just had oil with a place to light, and the oil causes a flame to burn, and you can have light for the path as you make your way. And then with that, you carry another, sometimes it could be made out of leather or something with a lid, but it would be more oil that you pour in that lamp to keep it burning. And so the foolish ones, they just figured, oh, that'll be enough. We don't know how long he's going to wait, how long it'll be before the bridegroom comes, but I think we've got enough. The others said, we're taking extra oil. We're going to have a supply of oil that will more than fuel our lamps. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They had a vessel where they could have a whole lot more God to keep them, because the darker the world gets, the more God we need. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. There's coming a time, and it's not going to be much longer. This world can't take it much longer, but there's coming a time when we are going to go meet the bridegroom. Then all those virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps. They set the wicks down so it would burn just bright enough. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Give us what you've got. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. I don't ever dissuade a church service like we had Sunday or any other Sundays or where the power of the Lord is just moving and it's just rolling and people are speaking in tongues and people are being touched and blessed and healed and encouraged. Because you know what we're doing? We're filling up on oil. We're allowing here, you know, it's not just the worship, it's not just people praising the Lord and speaking in tongues, but it's also the Word of God and the fellowship, all of the influence of God. If you want to know what is the Holy Ghost, it's the influence of God on the human mind and spirit. Amen. It's God having His way, and we need more influence of God in this day and that we live, because there's so much other influencing that's going on. We have to counteract it with godly things. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And today I can tell you the bridegroom is delayed because he wants everybody to be ready. Amen. He wants everybody to be ready. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said, give us some of yours. There will be a day when the Lord comes that those that aren't ready are going to go to those that are ready, and by the parable are going to say, can you help me? Can you get me in? Can you give me the advice I need? And I can't give anybody this. God only can give it. God only can give it. No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Go to those. What they were saying is you need to go to that revival church and get that blessing that they have that's there, and let God fill you up. Verse 11 says, afterward the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Right. Notice this. He knew the other 5, but he didn't know them, because it takes a relationship with God It takes a relationship with your Father to have the supply of salvation that you need to make it. And some are going to have what they think is a relationship, but He's going to say, I never knew you. What that word new means, I never had a real intimate relationship with you. It wasn't about oil here. That's just an analogy. But the Lord is going to say to them, you came to church, you talked to me, you talked about me, but we never had an intimate relationship. I'm sorry. I didn't affect your life. I had no bearing on the decisions you made and the way you live. That's serious right there. God, I want to be ready when you come. I want to be ready. But He answered, assuredly, I say unto you, I don't know you. Oh, Lord. He said, watch therefore, for you do not know. That's what Jesus said. You do not know neither the day nor the hour the Son of Man is coming. He said, you need to watch. And I believe the word watch would mean we got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I don't want to get intoxicated by this world and carried away by what it can offer me and give up my relationship with you. I want to be ready at all times. Well, that's really limiting yourself and hindering your joy and your happiness in life. I mean, really, isn't it? If I'm going to stay ready to meet God, I've got to really miss out on a lot of things. A lot of things. Well, I'm telling you, it's the opposite of that, actually. It's the opposite of that, and that's why we're so happy. Because the stuff out there, the thing that people love to get high on, whatever it might be, you know, things, money, their job, if it doesn't have God in it, they're not really, really getting high on anything that's going to last. I love this life right here because it's a real thing. It's a real thing. God gives us something on the inside and it's real. I know it's real. Amen. That song said it's a Pentecostal blessing and I know it's real. Amen. I don't think I've ever heard of a wedding where 10 brides, you know, were marrying one groom. And I hardly think any bride would be very excited about that wedding right there. But it's just an illustration saying He is coming. He is coming. And there's going to be half of those. Now, the half was in a parable. The Lord didn't say it's going to be exactly 50-50. But in the parable, just to make it very easy for us to understand, there's going to be those that are going to be walking side by side. They're going to have the experience. He's talking about those that had the oil, those that had the book of Acts, Holy Ghost experience. He's not talking about those that said, I don't believe any of that stuff. The ones that believed it, but they just didn't stay full enough of it. They weren't intimate. They just need God to take them to heaven when it's time. But their eyes and their hearts are on other things. They're in love with the present world. Oh, Lord, help us today that we can stay in love with you because this is the life that matters. Amen. This is the thing that's going to get us out of here whenever we hear that trumpet sound. I used to think I'd sit in church and I would see, you know, my mom would be there. My dad would sometimes be at work at night. And I would see the front of the church. Our church had a lot of elderly ladies. And I would think, well, you know, at least they're here and they like it because what else do they have to do? I go back now in my mind and I hear their testimonies. And I realize they were there because God took care of them. God took care of them. They survived. They're still there. They're still alive because God's blessing them. It never occurred to me that's why they're there, because they'd serve God in the power of the Holy Ghost. They would testify and they would get excited about the things that God did. And the older I got and the older I get, well, I sit on the front now like they did in my home church. And I'm here to tell you, like Sister Lummis always said, they ain't nothing like Jesus. There ain't nothing like Jesus. And there's not. Amen. But this parable is just showing us that there will be a singular bride. That singular bride will be, it's called the church. It'll be comprised with people from every nation and tongue. That bride is going to be ready, and it's going to be those that, not the ones that, you know, just had some oil, but those that are full of the Holy Ghost. That's all that means, is being full of God's Spirit, and so that it leads and guides you into every way and every truth. See, when we get low on oil, there's a, you know, a car, in the old days when I drove cars that used a lot of oil, you know, we all started off with those cars that you had to keep the oil, you know, 4 or 5 gallon jugs in the trunk. I had that as my first car. But when it got low, you know, the oil light wasn't important to me because it made this ticking sound that let you know it was low. And that was saying, you know, click, 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 I need some oil, and you gave it some oil. we drive around and we live this life with emptiness long enough, that'll be our normal. And we won't know the signs, but we're going to be very easily taken away by some little something that pops up in our life, a disease, a spiritual disease, an offense. We get easily offended when we're running low on oil. But in that crankcase, as my dad would try to tell me, son, you've got pistons in there and you've got rocker arms, and he would, you know, the rods and all that. He'd describe the engine. He said, that oil has to be in there, son. It has to be up there on that part of that dipstick. And he would explain it to me. You know, it's not about the fact so much that you got to be full of oil, but it's the vacancy of oil. In that vacancy is where damage is at. And it's not that the Lord just wants you to be full so he can say, I've got a church that's just, you know, they're running over. No, it's the vacancy. When I don't have the oil, then there's other stuff that's going to get in there and contaminate my relationship and my attitude. And that's really my whole point tonight, is that I don't want something else to take the place that God's supposed to be there. Because his influence is the influence that matters. You see, in that space, we sit down in that space and we sit in God's chair. And we sit there. And it's like when I used to go in my pastor's office and he'd let me look at his commentaries. And I'd sit in his desk and I'd sit in that big chair and I'd think, this is what it feels like to be a pastor. I'd have that book opened up. I'd be trying to find my scripture. And I'd swivel a little bit in that chair. And this is what it's like. Wow. See, when we have that space and it's not full, our flesh starts telling us, you know, why don't you just sit in that space and bring some things in there? And it's supposed to be for the oil, but I put my own things in there, and before long we're making up our own doctrines, our own rules. You know, I think it's this, I feel, and I, you know, we use those kind of words. Let's stand. They had lamps, but they also had vessels with their lamps. Church, we must all be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, but also able to keep the supply built up by praying in the Spirit and singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Let's gather. I want you to do that for me. We've got 3.5 minutes. Let's gather to the front. And I think it would be really good if we could look at our inwards to ourselves right now, every one of us. And if you see a space, let's ask God to make up that difference tonight. It's Wednesday night Bible study. But wouldn't it be great to leave here knowing that we've said, God, I want to give you room. I want to give you that space I have. I want you to fill it up, Lord. Take my reasoning out. Take my human understanding out. And let your oil, God, be there. Let the Spirit of God flow. I would like for the Spirit of the Lord to have his way in these next few moments right now. God can do a lot in a little bit of time that we give him. Oh, he can do a lot. He spoke the world into existence. He spoke and it was. Think of what he can do in just a few moments as we open our minds and hearts and say, Lord, let your will be done right now, God. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost, God. I want to be saved. I want to be filled. Dear Lord, in your name, Jesus. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, Lord, in your name, Jesus. I want your power. I want your goodness. I want your wonderful work to be done. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, let your goodness and mercy be felt and known by us. Lord, I pray that you would heal us right now. Oh, God, from offenses, heal us, God, from damage from our past. Heal us today, God, that have been offended. Healing, Lord, for our hurts and our bruises. The decisions we've already condemned ourselves for, Lord, you've forgiven us, Lord. Help us to be healed of those decisions. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do it, Lord. I want to be like you, Lord. Jesus, have your way, Lord. Have your way. Oh, yes. I'm giving you everything. Let me be your vessel. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh God, make me more like